finally, it's February 1st, because January felt like it was 700 days long. It was the longest month ever. Why is January always the longest month?
I mean, I don't know about that. There's a lot to do in January, and a lot of bills come due after the holiday season, too. That might have something to do with it. Plus, you know, generally, most places that you are, it's relatively cold. It's not the best weather of the year unless you're in Australia.
So when I got up to come to work this morning, my husband leaned over and he goes, "Rabbit, rabbit." You ever hear that?
It's so weird.
It's so weird. Rabbit, rabbit's like what you're supposed to say on the first day of the month because it's supposed to set the groundwork for good luck for the rest of the month and all that.
I mean, I don't understand what made rabbits so lucky in the first place, but okay.
It's funny because it comes to all these superstitions. And I will say that there's part of me that is very superstitious. A mirror fell off my daughter's wall in her room and it shattered. And she's been petrified lately that she's going to have bad luck because of it. And I said, well, you technically didn't break it. It just fell.
Yeah.
And she's like, that's worse because now it's cursing me. And I don't know if that's the truth on how bad luck for 7 years works with mirrors.
Yeah, I'm not really sure either. I would think that it would definitely have more to do with the fact that if she had broken it, had something to do or had been in its vicinity when it fell. You know, I'm not normally a superstitious guy. I have been living with the fact that my buddy wanted me to go watch the conference games with him. And I'm a Niners fan, and that didn't end up very well for them versus the Eagles. Most people know by this point. It went very, very, very poorly. Mm-hmm. And I was at home just working on like regular stuff around the house instead of in the bar with my jersey on screaming next to my friends. And as soon as the quarterback got injured right at the beginning of the game, I was like, dang, my fault.
Yep. I remember my husband, who's a giant Giants fan, his whole thing was that whenever the Giants are playing, they have to have a chair upside down in the middle of the family room for good luck. And it stems for like 20 years now, where at one point, I think it was like when they beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, that's what they did for good luck.
Because they had knocked over a chair, possibly.
I don't even know why it was just upside down in the middle of the family room. But he was saying the same thing. He's like, the Giants lost. I didn't turn over the chair. I'm like, well, we got rid of that set like 3 years ago. So just because this is the first time they made it to the playoffs in a while.
Yeah, maybe I should have tried that before the game. Now I guess maybe I could try it in the operating room when they operate on the quarterback's arm this week.
Most common superstitions in every state. Florida, ladybug landing on you is good luck.
I've heard that. That's all over the place.
Connecticut, throwing salt over your shoulder, good luck.
Seems weird.
New York, don't let a black cat cross your path. Arizona, owls are a bad omen. What?
I mean, I dig owls.
I like owls too. California, lucky pennies on the floor. Do you pick up lucky pennies?
Never. You know that. I throw out my pennies. And in California, it ain't going to get you nothing.
I pick them up. Another month is upon us, and this is the month of love, but will it actually be the month of love? Astrologer Anne, you can find her online at astrologeranne.com. Anne, what do the stars have to say about this upcoming month?
This is a wonderful month for so many things. When we start the month and on through Valentine's Day and beyond, it's a great month for friendship. That's the idea of, yes, romance, but how did you fall in love with this person? And is this person your friend too? That's a way to take your romance to a higher, different level. Or if you're looking for somebody, look among your friends. This is a time for friends to come together because it's all about the Aquarius energy. That's where the sun is right now. And it's saying, you know, people need people. That's what it's about. Sisterhood, brotherhood, coming together, changing the world. And that's what Aquarius is all about. Very idealistic.
I didn't know that Aquarius is the hippie. That's the flower power child, basically, of the stars, it sounds like, of the signs here.
It sure is. It's the original go to the beat of your own drummer. Be totally independent and unique.
But Anne, there's specific days this month that are really significant, right?
Absolutely. One of the dates to watch, it's right before Valentine's Day, actually. It's February 11th. The planet Mercury is going to join the sun in Aquarius. So we're already going to feel smarter this month because the sun's in Aquarius, which is kind of a genius sign anyway. When we add Mercury, suddenly the genius ideas can come to us. And that's like, oh my goodness, what do I want to do with this? Well, let's talk to my friends and pals and all the people in my life and see what we can do with it. You might have a brilliant brainstorm about who do I really maybe want to date or get serious with?
So February 11th, we have to reevaluate all our love choices in our life.
I'm clearing my schedule right now for that day, making sure that I've got nothing else going to be in the way.
Yes. And be ready to write down all those genius ideas.
And how about later in the month, once we get past Valentine's Day?
So all that electrical, exciting energy, you know, we got to ground it. We know this about electricity. That's what's going to start to happen February 18th. The mood of the month shifts. We go from Aquarius to Pisces. It's a water sign, super sensitive. This is when we take all those genius, brilliant ideas in our heads, move them down into our hearts. We get spiritual and we want to somehow, how do you turn those ideas into reality? But do it with love, not just with your mind and your head, but do it with your heart. That's what Pisces is about. The dates to watch, February 18th, sun goes into Pisces. Then the moon joins the sun. We get a new moon, February 20th. If you want to start a spiritual practice, if you want to start meditating, if you want to get serious about your inner life, that's the magical time to start doing that.
And I think I'm reading between the lines here. You said the 11th was a big deal where I reevaluate and take charge and, you know, take stock and figure out where I want to go.
With love.
It's also the last day that I can place bets on the Super Bowl.
Oh.
So I just want to know, what are the stars telling you? Do you have a favorite? Do you think Jalen Hurts has stars in his eyes? He's a handsome man.
I have to say, trust your intuition, which is going to be smarter than what I could say. I got to say, nothing's coming right now, but we got to wait for that genius flash on February 11th.
I heard what you said. Eagles over the Chiefs. Anybody but the Chiefs. Okay, perfect. That's what I wanted to hear. Thank you.
You'll hear anything you want.
Right. It's like you're listening to the show.
Mm-hmm. You want to learn more about Astrologer Ann, you can head to her website, astrologerann.com. Thank you, Ann.
You're welcome.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's driving you crazy right now? You want to get it off your chest? 1-800-330-9999. Just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Michael.
Yo, if you're on the casino's drunk list, that's all I need to know about you.
Casinos have drunk lists?
Yeah. My friend got caught on the casino's drunk list. It's not a pleasant experience.
So I know that they have like facial recognition for people that cheat the games and stuff like that. I didn't realize they were using it for people that were in the red, but I guess I kind of understand it.
You know, that facial recognition thing, I mean, I know that we have the technology to do it, obviously.
Yeah.
But it still boggles my mind that they're able to scan a crowd and like scan your face and be able to know exactly who you are and spot you wherever you go.
It's yeah, you crazy. Thought it was like a CIA movie.
Well, the fact that it's become, I mean, it was in the news recently that there's, I know that there's a lawsuit against Madison Square Garden because they're not letting certain people in if there's litigation
against
them.
They're using it, yeah. James Dolan is using it, yeah.
Yeah, so like to me, I was like, wait a minute. If I have a lawsuit against Madison Square Garden, Radio City, whatever, and I'm just taking my kid to see a show.
No, you can't.
You can't.
Yeah, you won't be. It all just comes down to money. Technology has been there for years and years, actually. It's just a question of who's using it well. And the casino, obviously, an endless flow of money. Madison Square Garden, pretty similar circumstance. So if it's a place where you've got money and you want to identify people, it's out there.
Susan, that's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you is if you complain about there being too much ice in the soda. My mom does this all the time. She'll order a soda, there'll be ice in it, and then she complains about the amount. Like, then specify, say no ice, thank you, or like 3 ice cubes, please. It's like it's a surprise every time, and I don't get it.
There are those no ice people.
No, there's so many of them. You know, I mean, my parents have restaurants, and people are very particular about how much ice they want in their drinks.
Yeah, no, but I can't mess with that. Like, I'm never going to tell you how much ice. One thing I do hate is if you give me a cup full of ice, it's just ice, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and like the drive-thru specifically, you drive away and it's like this thing is entirely ice. That stinks. On the other hand, you've got the option to go back. You can say, give me some sort of refill or walk in there or whatever, and you're fine. The person who asked for no ice, I actually think is an alien. I get why you're doing it, but, you know, did you really need that much more soda? Because now you're having a soda with no ice, and now you're a freak in my book. I'm sorry.
I don't like ice in my water. To me, like, it has to be, like, I like it room temperature. I don't like cold water, and I'd rather not have it with ice.
Disgusting.
But I was at a bar the other day where the guy next to me kept ordering his drink with only 2 ice cubes. And then when they put the glass down, yeah. he was like, only 2. And the bartender was like, there's only 2 in there. And he was like really scrutinizing it. And yeah. I was like, what is this guy drinking?
Well, if it's whiskey or something like that, you don't want it too watered down.
Oh, so you only want 2 cubes of ice? That's it? That's the scientific way
that's
to
why they
it out?
Do the artisan ice, right? Well, the mm-hmm. one that's like a bowling ball or whatever they stick in there, or like a stone, yeah. you know? I mean, it's more serious than I'll ever be. I'll be through this drink before the ice melts, I promise you that.
Goosebaba. It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
You going on a trip soon? There are 3 things that flight attendants say that you should never consume on a flight.
Oh boy.
All right, up first, Bloody Marys. And they're one of the most popular cocktails ordered on a plane. Turns out there's a scientific reason why people think they taste so delicious when they're flying. Here's the internet guy.
Science says certain foods and drinks like tomato juice taste better up in the air because of loud airplane noise. The noise affects how things taste. Umami-rich savory foods like tomatoes become significantly enhanced and taste better. Researchers add that in a loud environment, especially one where it's 85 decibels or above like on an airplane, our sense of taste is compromised.
So that's why people like it. Yeah. They're saying it, the loud noise makes things like tomatoes taste better, well, which then, is why people like them so much.
Why don't they sell, like, you know, Bloody Marys at concert venues? I mean, I've never...
That's what they say.
I've never heard anything like that before in my life.
But here's the reason. Yeah, Cornell, you actually did the research, which I thought was fascinating.
Good. Cornell, we should work on something else, though. How about, like, cancer?
All right.
How about that?
I think they're working on that, too.
Good.
But here's the reason why flight attendants say that it doesn't matter how good it tastes up there or you think it tastes. It says you shouldn't drink Bloody Marys because there's so much sodium in them that it throws all your kidneys out of whack with all the air pressure.
So then you're going to have to go to the bathroom.
And there's dehydration issues. That's okay. The major thing is that it causes extra dehydration. So if you're going to throw down a Bloody Mary, it says you have to make sure you do that trick where you have the glass of water in between every single one, or you're chugging the water too. I've never had a Bloody Mary in my life.
I know. We have this discussion. I wouldn't order one on a plane. A Bloody Mary has to be good. Mm. There are 2 versions of a Bloody Mary. One that's excellent that you'll be like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And the other one that's terrible that you'll be like, this is disgusting and never touch again.
Something about it, the way it looks, I just can't. I don't know. It turns my stomach.
I'm telling you, you tell me that after a hangover. Mm. Bang!
Second thing that flight attendants say you should never consume on a flight, I mean, it seems logical enough, gas-inducing foods like onions, kales, beans, red meat, lentils, gluten, broccoli.
You know what? I used to drink, so, you know, I love soda. It's like my big vice. And of course, whenever I'm getting on a plane, I'm usually on vacation or something like that, right? I'm traveling to somewhere. So even though I'm not allowed soda anymore, I would allow myself soda when I go on a trip. And I stopped doing that because, you know, the carbon monoxide or the whatever it is that's in there, the carbon, whatever, you know, the bubbles or whatever. When you get on the plane, it's going to make you feel bloated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the air pressure. When the air pressure changes, which it changes a lot, obviously, when you're on a plane.
Why can't I think of that word right now?
Carbonation. Yeah. I
Thank
don't know.
You.
Yeah.
Where were you for
no,
me?
No,
help
I,
me.
I wanted
I'm
to,
drowning.
I wanted to watch you sink. I just wanted to see what words you were going to come out of your mouth.
Yeah. So I don't do that anymore and I feel better.
Yeah. It says that the up and down of the air pressure is what messes with your stomach and it adds it adds to the pain. It makes you bloated.
Right.
Okay. But the last thing you shouldn't consume on a plane was shocking to me because it's the one thing I always have, especially when I'm flying in the morning.
What's that?
Listen to this flight attendant.
You might want to think about ordering something other than coffee or tea. The thing about the coffee and the tea is that the pipes are rarely cleaned.
Airlines are only required to disinfect and flush the water tanks 4 times a year.
Ew!
Whoa!
Ew. My gosh, the first thing I love in the morning when I, you know, first, you know how some of those airlines have those delicious Biscoff cookies, which are kind of disgusting, but for some reason you can't stop eating them. I would get a coffee with those little cookies in that little red package and I'm a happy girl. And to think that it's made with dirty water, and you shouldn't also drink the tap water there. You know how sometimes it comes in a pitcher and not in the bottles?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they got that from the gross, dirty pipes.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Oh, that's eye-opening. Yeah. Oh, it was so stressful. You know, when you're a parent, right, and you're so excited that you're getting a night away from the kids. I mean, it sounds so bad when you say it like that, a night away from the kids. But
I mean, that's how everybody says it, though.
But it's true.
Because they can relate.
You get a break, you know.
You need to escape.
Oh, I was so excited because my husband and I were staying at a hotel about 1.5 hours away from our home. And we, you know, we had a fun night planned, special dinner plans, the whole thing. And we haven't been away, just the two of us, overnight I don't know, a long time, 6-7 months probably by ourselves.
You don't do it often at all.
No, not overnight without
the
kids.
Since the kids have been born, essentially, you don't do it all that often.
Yeah. Anyway, so we're finally out, and 6 o'clock, the phone rings, and I look, and I'm like, oh, it's my babysitter. And I have, you know, I have two kids. I have a 14-year-old daughter and a 4-year-old daughter. So the 14-year-old, she's good. And most of the time, she can watch her if I'm running out for a few hours or whatever. But if it's an overnight, obviously, you need an adult there. So I see it. I go, I pick it up. I'm like, hey. And she's like, Dakota, that's the little one. Like, she's really upset about her tummy. And in the background, I hear...
Which is any one of my nieces when they're overtired at some point of the evening anyways. Yeah. I mean, to discern that from an actual emergency to just I'm having a tantrum.
Right. But the problem is, Raven, is that Dakota adores my babysitter. Like, she'd much rather have Lindsay over me any day of the week.
Okay.
Like, she, you know, she's the fun one. They go and do fun things. They go to the aquarium. They go to the park. They do fun stuff where I'm like, just sit with your iPad. I have work to do, you know? Anyway, so now we have to come up with the plan where she's in a lot of pain. She has a tummy ache. Do we go home and pack up this trip and we go home and it's like 15 minutes before our dinner reservation? And if we leave right now, we could be home by 8 o'clock and that whole kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or do we just say she's yours for the night? She definitely has a tummy ache. She has a little bit of a fever. She had like 100.4. And do we just say, OK, it's on you. You got it. And Lindsay's great. And Lindsay knows her. She's been with her since she was a baby. She's like, I could take care of her. And it's like, we didn't know what to do. So we stayed. And we let her deal with the night. And the night wasn't great, but it was fine. And I got up at 6 a.m. and was like, let's go. We're going home now.
I don't know what's worse, right? I mean, getting up and leaving in the middle of the date is one thing, but waking up at a hotel and being like, let's go.
Right.
Immediately as soon as the sun's up, that's also terrible.
I don't know. Producer John, you have a small child. James is, what, 3 now?
Yeah, he's 3.
So did you ever have that situation where you have to make the decision because the babysitter called?
Oh, yeah. I almost bailed on an event for you guys right around Halloween. I had a babysitter all lined up, and we were going to go do this thing, and then right, like, the night before, babysitter was just like, hey, I, like, pulled something in my back. I've been on the couch all day, but I can handle it. I think I'm fine, and I'm sitting there, I'm thinking to myself, like, the number of times that James has just, like, ran around, like, punched things or, like, broken something, and I'm like, no, it's probably a bad idea.
Is that why James came to the event?
That is why James came to the event, you guys.
Well, I mean, that makes
sense. We're coming with Dad today.
Daddy's coming to work with Daddy today.
The babysitter pulling a back muscle. I don't know. James doesn't look like he weighs that much. I would have been like, let's go.
He's he's not going to be 6'4", but he's a bruiser.
No.
He's a bruiser.
Actually, that's a real thing because I know my mom has back issues. And, and whenever my mom's like, oh, you know, my back has been not doing great, I get nervous because the little ones... It's a lot of picking them up. It's a lot of throwing them around. If your back is out, it's a hard thing.
I mean, this person's in her early 30s,
suck it up and get a heat pad.
Still.
Let's go.
Here, I got to leave right here in the cabinet. You're going to be fine. It's the worst feeling as a parent. You finally get a night out. You have the babysitter at home, and all of a sudden the phone rings, and it's the sitter, and something has gone wrong, and now you have to make the decision. Are you going to go home, or are you going to plow through, or what are you going to do?
Yeah, sometimes when somebody's not qualified, you don't know when they call, right? Yeah. It feels like a catastrophe, but you're just not sure.
Happened this past weekend. My babysitter called that my little one, Dakota, her tummy hurt. She was crying, her tummy hurt, and I had to make the decision to go home or not. I stayed out. They survived it. It was a rough night, though. I would say that. 1-800-330-9999. What happened when the babysitter called?
How you doing? My name is John. I've got a quick story for you about a 4-year-old son. My wife and I are on a date, and we get a call from the babysitter saying, your son is having a little bit of a problem going number two. So I said, maybe some prunes, maybe, you know. And she's like, no, he's really having a problem. So I'm like, let it ride for 15 minutes. Still having problems. We'll come home. No problem. We get a call back. She goes, you have to come home now. I said, what's the problem? She said, well, number two is now everywhere. I said, what do you mean by everywhere? She said, well, I'm going to let you come home and see it for yourself. I can't even explain it.
Well, where was it? I mean, now we have to know.
Everywhere.
It was everywhere. It was like a spray gun went wild.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, no more problem anyways. I mean, just a cleaning problem at that point. But the pipes are clean.
Melissa, what happened when the sitter called?
Oh, my goodness. I have a good one. I was at the movies with my husband, My son was maybe about 6 or 7. And the babysitter, you know, she's about 15, 16 years old. And I get a call in the movie, right in the middle of the movie theater. You know, it's all choppy and everything in the theater, and I can't really hear straight, but your spidey senses kick in as a mom. And I was, like, in a panic because I never had a call from a sitter before. And she's in tears, and she's all upset. And what I heard was my son broke his arm. So we fly out of the movie theater. We break every traffic violation on the way home to get there to him. I walk in the door, and my son's fine. He's like, hey, Mom, what's up? And I'm looking, and the babysitter's in tears. And I said, what happened? Did you break your arm? And she goes, no, the fish died. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. It's a beta fish. It's going to be okay.
Her fish died or your fish?
My son's fish died. It was just a little beta fish.
Yeah.
It had a good life.
Right. Right. You gave it all the things it wanted, right? Opportunity for a future, right? You know, education, right? Love.
Oh, meanwhile, yeah. The babysitter's planning the burial.
Yeah.
Doesn't know how she's going to break it to everybody.
Oh, I mean,
your son's on level 14 of Fortnite.
I mean, she eventually became a veterinarian, so I guess that explains a lot.
Wow.
I mean, that would be the only career that she could have possibly gone into after that reaction.
Right, because she's definitely not destined to be a sitter.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you. Exactly.
Daryl, what happened that time the sitter called?
Yeah, this one got me by surprise. So she called when we were out on a date, and she said that there's this weird sound coming from downstairs. And I was like, okay, can you go down and check it? And then she said, I'm like a little freaked out. She held the phone up, and it was like a metal clanking sound. And immediately I knew it was the furnace.
Mm.
Something goes wrong with the furnace, especially with your kids in the house. You don't know what's going on. Yeah. Date's over. We're out of here.
To be honest, I would be scared, too, to go downstairs. Like, if I heard, like, a big noise in the basement, I'd be like, nope, you're coming home. This is your house. I'm not going down. There's a murderer down there. It would be the first thing I thought. There's somebody trapped in your basement. I'm not going down there. Or there's a giant rat. I can't be involved in that.
Yeah, it's scary stuff.
Yeah, I don't know what's worse, getting a phone call that there's something wrong with the house or something wrong with your kids. I'm going to go probably with the house is easier. Were you ever out on a date night or you're going out overnight, you had the babysitter home with the kids, and then the phone rings and it's the sitter? Uh-oh. What happened? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. You had that phone ring, right?
I sure did. I think I can top everyone. So I was pregnant with my second. We were at for our last sort of night out, and we get a call from not the babysitter, but the police. The sitter stole our minivan, which was parked in the garage, and went sleigh riding and left our child at home alone.
My gosh, I just got shivers all down my body. Every single hair on my body just stood up. Oh my gosh, how terrifying and terrible.
It was awful. Yes, it was awful. We didn't have a babysitter for about 2-3 years after that.
So wait a minute.
Oh my gosh.
But your kid was fine, right? It was the minivan that really took the brunt of the problem.
She took the minivan and left the babies. That is awful.
Well, I mean, you said sadly, like, you know, like something tragic happened at the end. I mean, if the biggest part of the tragedy is an insurance claim, then I'm somewhat relieved, personally, myself.
The teenager then went to school the next day who was bragging that she gave the kids NyQuil
to keep
them asleep.
Wow.
This is why, like, I'm scared. This is why I only use, like, two people, my mom and my one sitter. This is validation.
Lydia, why did the babysitter call?
Told my babysitter that my kids went to bed very easily. They never give me any trouble, but she was just called me in a panic. Like, I think I'm doing something wrong. It was like 10 p.m. They were still partying, and she was like, they're broken. I don't know what to do.
They were just taking advantage of the babysitter. That's what they were doing.
It's kind of like a preemptive call, too, right? Because if they don't call and you end up coming home, you're like, why are they still up?
Oh, I think that's what it is. She was just prepping me so I don't get mad at her when I get home.
I'm covering myself.
Ironically, I have the opposite problem where I always say, like, it's difficult to get her down. There's a lot of trips to the bathroom and the drinks of water and the one more book. And you got to get this lovey. You know, she wants this blanket. And, like, she's got every excuse in the book for me. But for some reason, when my babysitter or my mom is there, no problems.
Oh, no.
Oh, she'll be asleep at 7:30. I'll be like, what?
No. This is the same thing. One of my dogs, very difficult to feed. He just won't eat unless his mom's in the kitchen or this, that, whatever. There's all these different things. She's got to sit next to him. It's ridiculous. Grandma comes over to feed the dogs. We're nowhere to be seen. Oh, he eats every bite. No problem. You know what it is?
What?
Your daughter doesn't respect you.
Oh,
my dog doesn't respect us. They don't respect our rules whatsoever. Mm-hmm. When the babysitter's over, they respect the babysitter.
Gary, why did the babysitter call?
The babysitter called because while my wife and I were out at dinner, she called to tell me that they were playing football in the yard. I immediately knew somebody was hurt. But it was her. My son threw the football and broke her nose, and she had to leave because it wouldn't stop bleeding.
Oh, my gosh.
Classic.
I mean, kids can hurt you, and they don't know their strength. Like, Dakota, she hurts me sometimes. My toddler, she's four. But, like, little things that she does, like if she headbutts me or, like, she jumps into my arms and I take a knee the wrong way in the gut. Like, they don't realize the force that they have.
Keep your hands up, man.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your hands up.
She didn't want me to tell my son that he broke her nose because she felt really bad.
Aww.
She didn't want to.
Like, oh, I would have been in your son's face.
Yeah.
I would have been like, oh, you're
you broke my nose.
Yeah, you couldn't get home quick enough.
You're a terrible kid.
Right.
Valentine's Day is coming up, so whether you're looking to do fun things with your significant other or with your kids, Shannon Doherty is a TikTok, Instagram master influencer, millions and millions of followers. Her thing is she gives hacks and easy, inexpensive things that you can do to celebrate.
And they're brilliant.
You can find her on Instagram at homewith.shannon or on TikTok @homewithshannon.
These types of hacks here, Shannon, are these the type of hacks that could bail out somebody who has no idea what romance means or how to identify it?
Yes. So perfect. These hacks are super, super easy. I try to share ideas that literally everyone can do. One that I just started doing this year that I absolutely love is for my family. And anyone could do this. You could do this for your husband. You could do it for your kids. I took a large heart and I cut it out 14 times on colored construction paper. And then starting February 1st on your children's bedroom door or a door in the kitchen, every day you add another heart. And what you do is you write on that heart an affirmation of why you love them. And then by Valentine's Day, they have a full door or a full wall full of reasons you love them. It's just a little idea that really adds up.
Yeah, I saw that one on your page, and I was like, oh, I should do that for the girls. It's really cute.
Never for your husband.
It's really sweet. Well, see, did you notice I added my husband in there? Because I was making it for the kids, and he was like, where's mine? I'm like, yeah, okay.
Right,
because
it hurt. Because it hurt.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Shannon, you're just like me. I never would even thought, like, let me do it for him.
Right. Didn't even pop up. Right.
The only reason I thought of that was because of True Life miss on that one. So. Yeah. So something that I love, I'm actually posting this video today, but a great idea as a gift, if you get a bottle of rosé or I did a really nice lemonade, you get a green floral sponge, like a green, you know those green circular sponges when you're making flowers? You cut a hole in it, you put it right on top of the wine bottle or the salt or whatever you're going to give as a gift, and then you stick flowers directly on that. It looks so pretty. So the bottom looks like the bottle and the top looks like this like beautiful bouquet of flowers. It's sweet gift.
Yeah, and you know the best part is now you're not sticking somebody with another vase. We don't want that.
The garland with all the playing cards. Can we talk about that? Because I saw I thought it was so cute.
Yes. That is such an easy one. I ran to the dollar store, I got a deck of cards, and I took all the heart cards out of the deck. Then I took a hole punch and made two punches on the top of each card, then just got a ribbon, strung all the heart cards on that ribbon, and used that as my garland. It looks so cute in my house. And you just have a really nice heart garland.
I probably have 5 extra decks of cards in my house right now.
It's great, especially if you're missing cards. Like,
right.
My kids are always losing cards in decks and stuff. So instead of throwing them out, you can just make great Valentine's Day garlands.
Another thing that I thought you did that was really cute was, like, when you're looking for Valentine's Day decorations, it's all the candy. Like, the candies are so pretty wrapped in the Valentine's Day colors. Just get some clear containers, glass containers, stick them in,
yes.
And there you go.
I leave them on my kitchen island or right behind me in my kitchen. And the hack for those, rather than having to buy tons of candy to fill up those huge... So I put my candy in those big mason jars that you would put flour and things in, but you'd have to get a ton of candy to fill the jar. So what I do is I put a cup in the jar upside down, just a clear cup in the jar upside down, and then I put the candy around it. So you have this illusion that the jar is full, but it really only takes about half the candy.
There's a reason why Shannon has millions and millions of followers. Her ideas are great. If you want to follow her for yourself, you can follow her on TikTok @homewithshannon or on Instagram at home with @Shannon. Thank you, Shannon. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Waiting in line is awful. Waiting in line is awful. Like, especially if it's something you don't want to be in line for, it's even more terrible. This weekend, I went to this festival where you had, like, wait in line to sample all the foods. And when you're hungry and you're waiting in line, it wrapped, like, around the building to get a bite of, like, a shrimp frittata. It was out of control. I waited 35 minutes, which seems too long for two bites of food.
Yeah. You know what? I hate waiting in lines. It doesn't actually even matter what it is that I'm waiting for. Mm-hmm. Any line that I'm more than, like, the fourth or fifth person in the line, honestly, I won't even do it. I'll skip over it. I'll leave that place. I'll go somewhere else to find the thing that I need. I went to a similar event this weekend. I went to the same event, but I went the day before, and I was the first one in the room for one thing. And thank God, because there was 120 people in the burger line like 2 minutes after that.
Yep.
And I had to get myself a burger. Thankfully, again, we were the first ones in the room. I just went up and grabbed it.
I was trying to think, like, what's the longest line I've ever waited in? And I definitely waited 7 hours. It was 6 or 7 hours for my daughter to meet Elsa and Anna.
Oh, yeah.
When Frozen first came out and the princesses were at Epcot, it was like the first time. Oh, it was crazy, that line. And I was like, you guys go have fun in Disney World. Mommy's going to sit in this line.
You're the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah.
Right. Somebody has to stay here with the plane so that when the rescue helicopter arrives, they'll know that we're alive somewhere in this forest.
I read the Da Vinci Code while I was waiting in line to meet Elsa and Anna.
Is that a real thing? Because you should have.
I did. No, I 100% did. Longest line, most annoying line you've ever waited in. 1-800-330-9999. Melissa.
At Disney in August. For the Seven Dwarves mine train.
Oh, yeah.
Worst ever. Like, screaming children, your hands are sticky from cotton candy, it's hot, it's the worst.
I did that late September, and I thought I was going to be in such better shape. Nope.
No.
Still hot.
And still long.
Oh.
That line is always long.
And it just goes around and around in circles. Like, every time you think you're near the end.
You're not.
No.
No.
They kick you down the floor, up the floor, whatever, and they put you in the same type of circle.
I went to Disney, and it was the second week in August when I was 7.5 months pregnant, and I would just cry. I would just cry because there was, like, you just can't escape the heat. In those lines, there's nothing you can do. And you have to rope drop Mine Train. Everybody knows that, Melissa. What are you doing waiting that line 3 hours long at 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
I gave up.
I don't know, something wrong with me.
I remember being in the food line there, and there were guys, you know, dads that were there. And they train the kids to talk to every person that it's in line. You don't just take the order and then move on because it creates the illusion of slowing things down. That way the kitchen doesn't seem so backed up. I wanted to scream at the top of my lungs. Nobody cares that you like the third person in line shirt. But you can't because you'll be dragged out of there.
And it's the happiest place on earth. It's the happiest place on earth. What are you going to do, scream? You got to just, you know, put a smile on your face and deal with it and pay $700 for whatever they're selling.
Those dads wanted to give up. They wanted to give up, I can tell you right now.
On life, that was it.
All of it.
The longest line you ever had to wait in. Melissa wrote on our Facebook page, the COVID weekly test line, 5.5 hours.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, I'm glad those
you
days are
what?
Over.
Right.
It's all knock on wood that we never have to do that again.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to wait in the line.
All right.
Find me dead at home.
1-800-330-9999. Ron, longest line you had to wait in.
When I lived in New York City. I used to be a ticket seller for concert tickets to get through college. And one night, I slept at Madison Square Garden with 20 of my friends, who I all paid, for 15 hours until the windows opened the next morning for Elton John.
Wow.
Great. Man.
It was well worth it, too. We made a lot of money that day. Elton John, my age is slipping.
No, but, you know, listen, I would die to see Elton John now. If you still had the hookup, you know, we could talk. But, I mean, what a great time, right, when the scalper could actually make some money, too.
I mean, the longest I ever slept on a sidewalk for tickets was for Beastie Boys. And I think it was about 7 hours. I got there at, like, 5 o'clock in the morning.
That's about right.
Getting that line.
Yeah.
That's about right.
Yeah, that's a good
Led
show.
Led Zeppelin was 2 hours left.
Hey, Melissa, longest line you ever waited in?
I waited in a line outside of a Cold Stone Creamery for about 45 minutes when I was 7 months pregnant, and I just remember crying because I could not understand why it was taking so long. And the people in front of me, when they got up to the finally order, the girl did not know what she wanted, and I remember wanting to just tear her eyes out.
I am with you. Like, what are you waiting in this line this whole time? You never looked at the menu once to figure out?
Well, and I'm like, there's a pregnant woman, visibly pregnant woman, standing behind you in tears, and you won't let her go in front of you?
Yeah, I mean, listen, if I'm the third guy in line, and I look out the window, and there's a crying woman out there who's 7 months pregnant, and I think that the reason she's upset is because she wants ice cream. You can have my spot. Come up here.
I know.
What would you like? Let me get it for you now. That's fine. Yeah.
It was awful.
No.
I was so upset. It's still to this day the worst. I would stand in a line. I heard the woman talking about being in Disney lines. I would stand in a Disney line any day over that experience. It was awful.
I'm just upset with everybody that was in line in front of you.
Emmy, worst line to wait in.
I waited in the line for Return of the Jedi way back when for over 3.5 hours with my whole entire family.
Yeah, it's miserable. I mean, I just did the same thing for Smuggler's Run. I mean, it's long, it's hot. Everybody is looking at everybody else like they don't deserve. The funny thing to me is when the line curls around, and so now you're side by side with the people that are actually like an hour in front of you, and you're looking at them thinking they're no better of a person than you.
Yeah.
How did they get up there?
Amanda, worst line to wait in.
I waited 18 hours in line to get an iPhone.
Oh, remember?
And it was my first one. And this is like the downfall. Like everything just went downhill after that with the whole iPhone obsession thing.
Well, it was like Black Friday after that, right? Like you kept waiting and anticipating that same big payoff and reward the day that you would get it when the new one would come out. Such a revelation again, this device that you got. That it would be life-changing, and it was totally worth it. So it was like an experience. Except it's not like that anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just a little bit better camera. They say it's faster, but none of us can tell the difference. You don't have to wait in that line anymore. But I remember those first iPhones, man. There would be people camped out there for days.
I remember days. They would be waiting like for it to go on sale so they could be the first in line to get it and all that. There's nothing I would want to do less.
Yeah.
Then sleep on a sidewalk to wait for a new phone.
I don't even know which
one this
is. And
the press was there. Like, the news was there.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. No.
They were recording me. It was so embarrassing.
Yeah. I don't even know which number this is because I haven't stood in that line in a very long time.
Yeah.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Alexa and Lewis. Alexa, let's start with you. What's going on?
So my husband got promoted at work. I'm really happy for him. You know, it's great that he's making more money and growing in his career, but unfortunately, it's meant a lot of travel. He is not home for weeks at a time. I think it's something we really have to reevaluate, like what is best for our family. I don't think money is the only thing that's really important. I really want him to consider going back to his original role, being more present for the kids and for me.
Hmm. Wow.
Tough situation. Lewis, what's your side of this?
Basically, everything she said, and I agree, like, I am way more, but with this corporation, with this career that I've been building for over a decade, I got the raise, I got the position, I got the money. And I know it's not all about the money, but there's just no way that I can keep my career moving forward if I go back to them and say, you know, like, hey, I'd like a demotion. It's a tough spot, but my take on it is ride it out for a while, buckle down, and as long as I'm in this position for a certain amount of time, then I can start to move to something else. But right now, I got to prove myself to my bosses and my boss's bosses. So,
do you like to travel? Do you like being on the road?
No, I mean, I miss my family. I do. You know, I'm fine with traveling. This is definitely more travel than I've ever had to do. It's not fun to be in airports constantly, staying in hotels. Like it was fun like the first month, but now it's a drag.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a difficult situation. On the other hand, I mean, there's a reason the phrase is, you know, if it was easy, everybody would do it. You know, those big jobs, those big titles, those big paychecks, frankly, they come with different responsibilities. You got to answer the phone when it rings. You got to go where it is that the boss needs you to go. Sometimes it's not good enough to be on Zoom. You've got to be in the room, whether that be in Chicago or L.A. or wherever it is that it takes you. It's difficult. How old are your kids?
They are 5 and 8.
Right. So if you, it's a couple more years of it, you're really missing the important years. But
I mean, they're all important
they're
years,
all important
aren't they?
Years. But it's not like they're 17 and 19 where they don't care about you anyway anymore.
but sometimes equally important in some ways, right?
Yeah. I just can't imagine going in and asking to be demoted and like be like, take away my right. raise, take away all that. I want to go back to my old job. I just don't know how that looks.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. We're a certain type, so maybe we're not the experts to ask on this, but I, like you, would try to think, okay, how can I make this work for 18 months? How can I make this work for 24 months or whatever, long enough for me to go ahead and see where this goes? One thing about your career is leaving questions out there, what could have been or should have been. On the other hand, it's the same thing with the kids. Gosh.
Yeah, and if I go in and ask for demotion, they could say, you know, you're not committed to this job, this company. And then what do we do?
Yeah, they could 100% let you go.
Absolutely.
I mean, honestly, I think that's 50-50.
I have a friend of mine who, she is so successful, and she keeps getting promoted. And every time she gets promoted, she dies a little bit inside because it's more time away from her kids.
I get it.
Yep. Let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Lewis. At this point, this is just your career path, and you're going to have to make it work, even if you're not around a lot and it makes your wife sad. But Alexa, they may see your side too. Sometimes family needs to come first, and this is one of those times. So you either need to go in and say to your boss you would like your old job back, or Lewis, you got to find something new that keeps you at home.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
It's tough. Alexa and Lewis. Lewis got a promotion at work. It requires him to travel a lot now. They're a month or two into it, and he's not around a lot, like a lot. And Alexa says, this isn't worth the money. This isn't worth the promotion. Like, I need you home. This is being a problem on my career. This is a hard time. You're never with the kids.
Yeah, I mean, all that is difficult. At the same time, like, this is probably happening, what, 70% of the households across America nowadays, right? Things are just far more expensive than they used to be. The days of somebody being a home give, you know, a home caretaker or whatever, a lot of that is over. Right. And it takes all the money that you can get to survive, especially when you have kids, if you want to be able to pay for things in their future. The balance of figuring out where your time is spent, that's the hardest thing that everybody deals with, I think.
Yeah. And Alexa wants Lewis to go back and ask for his old job, basically asked to be demoted. So she's like, the extra money doesn't matter anymore. Like, I just need you home. He thinks it's going to ruin his career. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Sonia, what do you think? Whose side are you on?
You know, I think I don't really know whose side I'm on. I'm just calling in to let you know I'm a recruiter, and I have to say, you know, this guy really should have known what he was getting himself into when he accepted the promotion or the job. I'm pretty sure that the company didn't just bring it on him that he was going to be traveling. Mm. And so I think it's very interesting now, a month in, that he's kind of like, well, you know, I don't really love it. He's going to put his company at a disadvantage if he asks for a demotion. They're not probably going to handle that well. They're going to have to hire somebody else to fit in his place. And so he either has to find another job or pretty much suck it up at this point. And that's coming from a recruiter, from a professional that's in the corporate space. I think those are his only options.
Yeah, I agree with all that, to be honest. But truthfully, what do you do at this point? You took the job. Like, are you going to go back on it? 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court. Lewis took a new job. It's a big promotion. The problem is that he travels a lot now. So much so that his wife Alexa is like, this is actually too much of a promotion. I don't like how much you travel. You don't even like how much you travel. Why don't you ask for your old position back?
Well, listen, there's nothing more fun than coming home and there being an argument every day, right? Or somebody upset about something, or somebody feels like they're not getting their due in a relationship. And it certainly sounds like that is the situation right now. You walk into a job, you know, you want to be the big person on campus or whatever. I mean, it's going to come with certain responsibilities.
Well, Lewis says just that. He says, I can't ask for a demotion. Like, that's going to ruin my career. I can't say I'm not going to travel anymore. What would you do? 1-800-330-9999. Jen, whose side are you on?
I am totally on his side. I am a wife that husband was a detective who was never home. And we made it work because when he was home, that was quality time. He was with his family. But I understood this was his career. This was his passion. He was doing it for the family, not just for himself. So she needs to just realize that, you know, she has the extra things, like the extra vacation with the time with the family and all the little extras that he's doing for them and not just for himself.
Vanessa, whose side are you on?
I am on the wife's side, particularly because my oldest son, he quit his high-paying job and took a lower-paying job with a few less hours just so he can be home with his family. And he does not regret it at all, not in the least.
Ivan, whose side are you on today?
I actually think there's no side to pick. I think this is a classic case where you're in a marriage with kids and you have to compromise, and you can't have everything that each person wants. So I'm in the same situation, especially with the pandemic dying down, that I have to be traveling more and in the office in New York more. And I think the key for me, and maybe advice to this couple, is he can work a ton, travel a ton, and then he has to be ruthless with his free time, dedicating it to experiences with the family.
I agree and I disagree. I think that there's a lot to be said about sometimes one person in a couple has to give more than the other, and it fluctuates. But if she's saying, you're asking too much of me, I can't manage my own career, and your career is coming higher, and you're not spending time with the kids, I mean, at some point, a compromise is that he needs to give up something, right? Or she has to understand that this is just how it is.
Yeah, I mean, the thought, too, that you can schedule every bit of time that you're away from work, that you're physically in the house, to just spend time with your family, it's not realistic. I mean, not for a lot of jobs, anyways. A lot of jobs, part of that job comes home with you, one way or the other.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Lewis, our audience agreed with you. Alexa, it's hard, but, you know, you have to, if he wants to do it, you need to back him and just get through the hard times until the times are not so hard anymore.
Okay. I mean, I guess that's what we're going to have to do then. Not going to be easy.
Yeah,
but,
it's, being an adult is no fun. Nobody told me that. It's like there's no good decisions. It's just like everything you do is like hard or difficult or adds stress in some other way. It's like life is like Jenga or something.
Finding the balance between time spent, you know, with those that you care about, doing things that you want to do versus earning the money that it takes to kind of facilitate some of those things sometimes, or, you know, getting our own personal achievement. That is the balance that everyone, I think, seeks. So good luck with that.
Thank you guys very much. I really appreciate it.
All right. If you have a problem too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $900. All right, we've got a mother-son duo today, Rebecca and Joshua. You guys ready to play?
We are.
Okay, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, you two.
All right. So Raven's walking out of here. That big door is going to close. He's not going to be able to hear us. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in and ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ready to go?
Yes.
Okay, number one. Adam Levine just welcomed his 3rd child with his wife, Bahati Prinsloo. In which reality competition show did Adam spin around in a red chair?
The Voice.
Number 2, Martha Stewart claims that she hasn't had a facelift despite looking flawless at 81 years old in a new selfie that was posted. What was the name of her television show that ran for 11 seasons starting in 1993?
I don't know.
Number 3, Paul Rudd says his secret to eternal youth and a superhero body is 8 hours of sleep a night. He plays what Marvel superhero?
Ant-Man.
Number 4, Dr. Phil announced that his daytime talk show will end after 21 seasons. What's Dr. Phil's last name?
McGraw.
And number 5, Nickelodeon announced their nominees for the Kids' Choice Awards. For favorite animated shows, the nominees include SpongeBob, The Loud House, The Smurfs, and the show that has Raven, Beast Boy, and Starfire. What show is that?
PJ Masks.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
All right, 3 out of 5 for Rebecca and Joshua.
Well, that's pretty impressive. Let's see how I do.
All right, number 1, Adam Levine just welcomed his 3rd child with wife model Bahati Prinsloo. No word on whether they actually named it after his mistress, like they asked. Remember he asked his mistress to name the baby after her?
Yeah, I just can't believe she smiled through all that.
Which reality competition show did Adam spin around in a red chair?
It's The Voice.
That's right. Number 2, Martha Stewart claims that she hasn't had a facelift despite looking flawless at 81 years old in a new selfie that she just posted.
That's why she's one of my senior girlfriends.
Okay. I mean, that picture is insane if you haven't seen it. I'm like, how is it possible she has never had any work? It doesn't make sense.
Fruits and berries on the face every day.
What was the name of her television show that ran for 11 seasons starting in 1993?
Martha Stewart Living.
Right. Number three, Paul Rudd says his secret to eternal youth and a superhero body is 8 hours of sleep a night. He plays what Marvel superhero?
It's easy, Ant-Man.
You guys are tied at three. Number four, Dr. Phil announced that his daytime talk show will end after 21 seasons. What's Dr. Phil's last name?
McGraw.
Yes. And number five, Nickelodeon announced their nominees for the Kids' Choice Awards. For favorite animated shows, the nominees include SpongeBob, The Loud House, The Smurfs, and the show that has Raven, Beast Boy, and Starfire. What show is that?
Isn't that Teen Titans?
Teen Titans Go. Close
Boom!
Enough. I'm sorry, guys. He beat you 5-3 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
We're Rebecca and Joshua, and we can't beat Raven.
Well, thanks for playing. And now, Joshua, you can get into school, okay?
Okay.
All right. Have a good day, guys. Hold on.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt and even $1,000 tomorrow, Anna.